Okay, good morning again. I'm glad that came off without anybody crying and no major catastrophe. The screen didn't get knocked down or anything. So we're glad for that. And the girls worked very hard getting ready for that. So we thank you, girls, for practicing so well and doing so well. And we thank all of you for coming and supporting them and us and sharing in our Christmas celebrations. I want to look in the Word of God with you, not for an overly long message, just some thoughts to put in perspective what Christmas is all about. Luke chapter 2 in the Word of God is where we want to go. The Gospel of Luke, third book of the New Testament, Luke 2. Luke 2. And we'll start with one of the verses that was quoted, Luke 2 and verse 8. This is after the account of the Lord Jesus being born. And Luke 2 verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I want to give you three reasons this morning why we need Christmas today. If you're in the retail business, you might say, well, to put us in the black, you know, to help us make our living. Christmas is a time when people think about giving gifts and hence buying and selling. But there are three reasons that are much more deeper than physical and material things. There are three immaterial things, things that aren't physical, that Christmas brings to us that we absolutely need as human beings. The first of those three things is a word that we've just read here that was proclaimed to them by the angel. They spoke in verse 14, this heavenly choir, as it were, spoke of peace. And that is one reason why the Lord Jesus came to this world. Now, I don't believe I have to spend very much time this morning convincing you that this world is in desperate need of peace. Peace is in short supply, after all. It's been barely a week since the Newtown Massacre. And unfortunately, since that massacre, as heinous as that was, heinous crimes continue to have been committed every day all over the world. In fact, you turn on the news in whatever form you take it, by news, radio or TV or internet or paper or however you get it, and it seems like so much of it is bad and sad. So much of it is about conflict, war, crime, pain. And the Lord Jesus, of course, came to this world to bring peace. But not merely peace and a cessation of hostility. Not merely stopping war or stopping crime. That is in the Lord's program one day. But you see, there's something much more fundamental. We as human beings need peace internally. We need peace inside. Because the sad fact of the matter is, it's not just that the problem is out there, out in some other community or some other town or somebody else's home. If we're honest, the problem is in our own hearts. The problem of evil, the problem of sin, the problem that we are discontented in this life, that we can't be at rest, that we're not satisfied, that we desire and we strive and we cannot obtain, that we want some kind of meaning, some sort of significance, and it eludes us. That we want various pleasures, and yet the pleasures we seek, we can't hold on to. We want things of this life, and yet we can't seem to gain them and hold on to them. We need peace. And the Bible says that the fundamental reason why this peace Could I ask somebody who's not holding a child to grab me a glass of water, please? Thanks, Nate. I appreciate that. We need peace to deal with this turmoil in our heart. So the Lord Jesus came to bring peace. Now, how did he bring peace? Well, the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians that the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross. You say that sounds like a strange way to make peace. Usually when we speak of peace, it's to avoid bloodshed. And I just need to pause a moment till I get my drink. I'm sorry. I'm very dry this morning. And you might be saying, and how? That's true. I should have thought to get one beforehand. Actually, Naomi, my Nalgene would do. It's right there in front of you. Here comes Nate. Never mind. Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate it. Okay, very good. It's better to have more rather than less. But the Bible says that the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross. Now you say, what is peaceful about bloodshed? What brings peace out of a cross? Because a cross is a place of violence. In fact, if you read the Bible, the cross is a place where man's wickedness and hatred were put on display. We can't argue that man is basically good, because look at the cross. Look at what they did to Jesus, a man who was perfect, a man who never did anything wrong, a man who, in fact, was more than a man because he was God manifest in the flesh. And yet look at what they did to the Lord Jesus. When you think about that baby in the manger, when you think about Christ being born in Bethlehem, please remember that that was just the first step in a path that inexorably led the Lord Jesus to Calvary, that led him to a cross, and that was of his own choice. And there the Lord Jesus allowed himself to be subjected to the violence of man. And he didn't retaliate. The Bible says that when he suffered, he threatened not. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. But you know, when man had poured out all their hatred against Christ, when they had cursed him and made fun of him and tortured him and set him on that cross as they thought to die, a slow, agonizing death, then it's as if God the Father stepped in and said, all right, you've registered your feeling toward the Lord Jesus. You don't want him. I get that. But now that you've put him on the cross, I'm going to show you what's been in my plan all along. That the Lord Jesus came and submitted to this cross for the reason of becoming the sin bearer. That the Lord Jesus came and took the wrong that I do, the wrong that I think. In fact, looking into my own heart, the wrong that I am, and the Lord Jesus took that upon himself and took the divine punishment, God's righteous judgment, his wrath, his righteous anger against sin was poured out on the Lord Jesus. Why? Well, so that the Lord could say to us, my peace I give unto you. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus came and paid for our sin, paid for the wrong things that we do, paid for how messed up by sin we are. And the Lord Jesus thereby took everything out of the way that separated us from God. Now what's left is for us to come and submit to that work. What's left is what Romans 5:1 speaks about, being justified by faith. You say, what does that mean? It simply means this, believing on the Lord Jesus unto justification. You say, how do I do that? Well, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I recognize you came to die for my sins, and I want you to come into my life and transform me. And the Lord Jesus says, for the one who turns from their religiosity, from their works, from what they can do, for that one to turn to the Lord Jesus by faith and say, Lord Jesus, save me a sinner, the Lord will do it. The Lord can bring peace. And thanks be to God, I've known many a person who were slaves to rage, slaves to drugs, slaves to pursuing after money, slaves to this world, hopeless and without any peace. And Jesus Christ has brought them peace. That's what Christmas is all about. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But it's peace that has to come from the Lord Jesus. Now, secondly, not only do we need Christmas because it brings true peace, we need Christmas because it brings consolation. And if we can just dip on down through the chapter into one verse, verse 25, Luke 2:25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, the second reason we need Christmas is we need consolation. What is consolation? Well, consolation is comfort in the midst of affliction. Consolation is comfort in the midst of your troubles. And boy, how do we need comfort in this life? You think about those who are grieving this morning over loved ones they've lost. They've had to go to funerals this week, not only for their children, but for their children's classmates. There are other families that are grieving because they've lost a loved one through some other way, through cancer, through an accident perhaps this week. Grieving because of the effects of sin in this life. Because the reason death exists in this world, and the reason evil is so rampant in this world, is sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It's falling short of His standard. And the Lord Jesus came not only to give consolation, the Lord Jesus came to be consolation. In fact, many translations, I believe rightly, capitalize the word consolation here. Because if there's to be true comfort, if we are to have any meaning for the sorrows and problems in this life, it must come from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christmas for the consolation it gives. Now you say, how can Christ bring consolation in the midst of a terrible tragedy? In the midst of the loss of a loved one, for example. How can He bring consolation? Well, you know something? If you belong to the Lord Jesus, if you come and believe on Him and say, Lord, save me a sinner, the Lord Jesus says, we know, He says this through His servant Paul in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. You say, well, that's all well and good, Keith. That sounds very poetic. That's like something you'd read on a Hallmark card, maybe. But is life really like that? Can we say, well, everything that happens to me really works out for good? Now, please notice what the verse says. It doesn't say all things are good, because God tells us more about evil than we could ever possibly know ourselves. God tells us more about all the problems that sin causes. Just look to the cross. If evil and sin weren't so bad, why did Jesus have to suffer and die in the terrible way that He did? It's because sin is really that bad that the only way it can be put away is by the Lord Jesus shedding His blood and giving His life. But I'll tell you what that verse means. When it says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose, we have to remember the next verse, which talks about the believer being glorified with Christ. And the point is, whatever comes into the believer's life, the person who has Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they can say, whatever happens to me, it's not going to separate me from Christ. And what's more, whatever happens to me, God is going to take me home to glory. Whatever tragedies befall me, whatever hardships, whatever pains along the road, I have consolation, I have comfort, because I'm in my Father's hands. I'm united to God through Christ, and I have the promise of being in heaven. Not the promise of being in heaven because I'm a nice guy. but my wife will tell you I'm not. I can be a jerk sometimes. Not a promise of being in heaven because I've done so much good. Because frankly, if we're honest, we can all look back on our lives and say there's a lot of good we knew to do and we didn't do it. And a lot of bad we knew not to do that we should have done. No, if I got what I deserve, to be quite honest with you this morning, I'd be in hell for all eternity. I'd be separated from God. But I don't have that. I have peace this morning. I have consolation. And so does everyone who's trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Because the meaning of Christmas is that Christ is our peace and Christ is our consolation. Because he says through his great saving work, he not only saves us for this life, but he saves us for eternity. He saves us from hell. He saves us to heaven. He saves us to share in his glory. And that's just the third reason we need Christmas this morning. The word appears over and over in the scriptures, and we read of it here when the angel appeared to them in chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, "We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now, that's exactly what we as human beings need. Whatever else is true about you, however different we might be one from another, each of us here this morning, one thing is true and common to all of us as human beings, whether you're tall or short, whether you're thin or more well-endowed with girth, whatever kind of body type, whatever intelligence quotient, whatever level of education, however much money you have in the bank or wish you had in the bank, one thing we all need as human beings is a Savior. You say, why, Keith? Well, two reasons. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says we're all under the same curse. We're all on the broad road that leads to spiritual destruction. We're all heading for hell in this life. And the Bible says we can't save ourselves. So we need a Savior. We need someone who can come and do what we cannot do. Now, if you dropped me in the English Channel and you said, Keith, swim from England to France, it would be hopeless. You know, I learned to swim before I could walk, quite literally. And I knew how to swim. In fact, I don't remember learning how to swim. My brother can bear me out on this. That as a very young child, I could swim. And I don't even remember learning. The earliest memories I have are being in a pool. And due to my physical problems, I didn't walk till very late. So I could swim before I could walk. I'm a pretty good swimmer. I like the water. I'm very at home there. But I'm no fool. You drop me in the English Channel and you say, swim this great distance. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it even if you came along and grabbed me by the wrist and said, I'll pull you along. I can't do it. I would need somebody to come and pick me up and put me in a boat and take me from England to France. That's the only thing that would keep me from drowning. And you know what? The only thing that keeps anyone from hell, the only one thing that will take us to heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. We have to turn aside from everything else and say, Lord, I want your salvation. I want peace this Christmas. I want consolation, that comfort that Christ can bring. I want your salvation. And the wonderful news of Christmas is it's about a gift. Not gifts, but a gift. The gift of God's Son. To know him is life eternal. The Lord Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you know the Lord Jesus personally, if he's your Lord and Savior, you have life. He'll come in and save you and change you and prepare you to live with him for glory. And you'll become more and more like the Lord Jesus till he takes you home. And when he takes you home, you'll share in his glory. So this morning, God offers to us his most wonderful Christmas gift, his own precious Son, his Son who died for us, died to bring us peace, died to bring us consolation, died so that we might be saved. Do you have him this morning? Is it going to be a peaceful Christmas for you? Are you going to be comforted? If you have the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can say yes. It'll be a Merry Christmas indeed. I want to close by singing hymn number 111. Hymn number 111, Silent Night, Holy Night.